Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are. We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids, going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Long Box, guys. My name is Tom Strange. With me as always are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Mikey, how you doing, or what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and tonight I am drinking a raspberry tart from New Glarus Brewing Company in New Glarus, Wisconsin. My wife was good enough to smuggle this all the way back from Wisconsin for me to drink.
I don't want to know where she smuggled it in under, but I'm glad she brought it. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm recovering from a cold, and my wife was kind enough to bring me the bottle of Basil Hayden's and say, finish this off. So that's what I'm doing. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great. I'm drinking a little bit of Bushmills tonight. Bushmills, when you care enough to drink the second best. Bushmills, fifth best. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing good. Just got back from a relaxing week at Nerd Camp, and I'm drinking a Julius from Treehouse.
How'd all the sword fighting go? Everything go great out there?
Yeah, I had some great classes, some great students. It was a lot of fun.
I can't wait till next year. Maybe we'll get some of the Legion out there to join you. That'll be fun.
Or how there, there was another Legionnaire there.
Who's that?
His name is Rob, R-A-A-B. He owns a sword school in Manhattan.
Uh-huh. Well, we should go out there sometime.
We should?
Yeah. Because everyone likes a road trip. You know who loves road trips, by the way? Those wacky characters, Calvin and Hobbes. They went on many adventures and a road trip in a giant red wagon. That's what we're going to be talking about this week, Calvin and Hobbes. Now, Josh, this is your pick, and I know you know a lot about Calvin and Hobbes. You want to give us like a brief background on them and also why they're your favorite because of your degree?
So, American comic strip done by Bill Watterson. Started in 1985, ran about a decade. Probably was syndicated, I think it was somewhere in the 2,000 to 3,000 range. He was 50 countries, let's see, hold on, 45 million copies of Calvin and Hobbes books have been sold. It's about the adventures of a young boy and his stuffed tiger who animates when nobody else is watching. And, of course, Calvin himself is based after the philosopher John Calvin, and the tiger is based on the philosophies of Thomas Hobbes.
And with your degree in philosophy, is that one of the things that drew you to this particular comic strip?
Nope, didn't know it, and I was 85, was before I was in college.
Ah, but you were always a philosophical young man. I remember you as a very drunk little 12-year-old waxing poetically and philosophically.
Deep thoughts.
Deep thoughts.
By not Jack Haney.
All right, so today I think this is more emotion than history on this one, because I think everyone has a favorite Calvin Hobbes strip or a run or something that happened to Calvin that everyone can kind of talk about. And Mikey, why don't we start with you?
One of my favorite Calvin and Hobbes strips is when Calvin is taking a test. And during the test, it's one question that says, when did the pilgrims land at Plymouth Rock? So Calvin writes 1620, and then he proceeds to go on a diatribe. I will quote him because I can't do it justice. As you can see, I memorized this utterly useless fact long enough to pass a test question. I now intend to forget it forever. You taught me nothing except how to cynically manipulate the system. Congratulations. Then he looks over and says, they say satisfaction of teaching makes up for the lousy pay.
I'm sorry, teachers.
And we have we actually have a lot of teachers who listen to this podcast, which makes it even better.
So remember that when you're making someone doing rote memorization, perhaps going a different way.
Well, that's actually an important thing when you're teaching. You want to teach them how to do critical thinking rather than just memorizing facts. Facts are important to back up the critical thinking, but it's more important to not only understand why 1620 is famous for the Pilgrim's Landing, but what was important about the Pilgrims actually landing at Plymouth Rock, and to be able to think about those kind of things. So Calvin kind of does an indictment of the American school system in just a few panels, or Bill Watterson, I should say. It's not actually – Calvin doesn't actually exist. But it's very telling that through his satire and through just a few panels, he can make you think really deeply about, okay, how is this whole thing, this whole institute in America set up, and what is wrong about part of it?
Great point, Mike. I think Watterson really did have his thumb on the pulse of what was wrong with a lot of institutions in the United States. And I think the dad often had to be those institutions. He was often the punching bag for a lot of the diatribes and monologues of Calvin about railing against the authority. My favorite was when the dad just wouldn't know a fact. He'd make some stupid shit up. Why is the sky blue, Dad? Blah, blah, blah. He'd just make up some stupid thing, and then Calvin would repeat it back and then get mad at his dad. I always loved those ones. Tommy, what are your favorites?
One of my favorites is I'm just going to read it because it's just so fantastic. It's Hobbes saying, "You're going to juggle eggs." And Calvin says, "It's a metaphor for life, Hobbes. Each egg represents one of life's concerns, and the goal is to give each the appropriate amount of individual attention while simultaneously watching and guiding all the others. Life is about balance and staying quick and alert, and everything threatens to spin out of control." And then Hobbes says, "And sometimes we make a big mess of everything, as all of the eggs are splattered everywhere." And Calvin says, "But the important thing is persistence." So he managed to keep none of the eggs in the air. Everything's a giant mess. But persistence is the important thing.
But persistence. Josh, what are your favorites?
So, yeah, it's so hard to pick favorites out of Calvin and Hobbes. But one of the things I appreciated right away when I first started reading it, like in the, you know, a lot of people probably don't even see comic strips and newspapers anymore, was that out there somewhere in the world, and this was right when we probably met and when we first started playing D&D, and just the realization that there was somewhere out in the world an adult who was living in his own mind and making a living doing that was the best thing I had ever seen in my entire life.
Doesn't that make you feel so good about yourself when you find your tribe? Like, oh my God, I'm not the only one.
Yes. Yeah. I love Spaceman Spiff. In particular, I love every murdered and mangled snowman ever built.
Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, Bill Watterson being a safe haven for you and having another person out there like you. I remember growing up, I thought that my weird thoughts were my weird thoughts and nobody else thought like me. And then I saw Rock and Roll High School, which was like this incredibly stupid movie, but it kind of mirrored and mimicked all the stupid things I was thinking. I'm like, oh, all right. I'm not the only idiot out there with such a chaotic world picture. And it made me feel a lot safer and better about myself.
And I just have to say, and this should probably go in plugs, that is the world of Epic Nerd Camp. There's 300 people, all of like-mindedness, all walking around in cosplay or comic book onesies and playing video games and playing board games and role playing, and it's a nice place to be.
And saying no to adulthood for 1 week out of the year sounds like a great idea.
Absolutely. just say no, kids.
Just say no to reality. Mikey, you got another one for us?
I always liked when Calvin played God with his toys. You know, he would be sitting there in the living room just playing and, you know, deciding who would live and who would die. And, you know, he would go on this epic thing, and Watterson would draw it like it was something out of a Dolly painting, with just Calvin as the creator of this universe. And then they would always pan over to the parents, who would be thinking Calvin was doing something nice. Yeah. Like, oh, I think, look at him. He's playing with his toys. He's building. I think he's going to be an architect. When actually he was thinking, I am a god.
So that actually is probably the closest literal tie-in to Calvinism. Uh-oh. So the five tenets of Calvinism is basically the five types of people or faith that God and how they affect and interact with each other. So you'll see Calvin pick different toys for different ones of the five tenets. So he has his evil toys, which is total depravity, and he has the good toys, which are irresistible grace. So he never harms those toys, and he always punishes the evil toys. So that's really the literal, like, that's just taking Calvinism and just like drawing a little kid playing with his toys. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Thanks for ruining that, Josh.
Yeah, no problem.
Tommy, what do you got next?
Well, I always liked it when Calvin and Hobbes were off on some space adventure, and really they were just flying recklessly in their wagon.
Was it Spaceman Spiff?
Yeah, I love Spaceman Spiff.
Yeah. You know, they were always off on some space adventure when really, you know, they were probably headlong heading into traffic.
All right, well, I'm going to feed off that a little bit by saying I love how the spaceship is easily made into a transmogrifier simply by turning it upside down. I did not know the technology works so seamlessly, and I really think that's a kudo to engineering itself. Because all you got to do is turn that upside down, and boom, Calvin's an owl for a week and a half. And I love that when Calvin turns himself into an owl for a week and a half, the grown-ups cannot see that he's obviously an owl now. And they're like, I can't believe they're just trying to play this off. They're ruining my owlness for me. That was always a good one. Mikey?
You had mentioned his interaction with his dad earlier. I also liked his interaction with his mom because she seemed to have a little bit of a temper. One of my favorite strips is Calvin and Hobbes sitting underneath a tree, and Calvin tells Hobbes, I asked my mom if I was a gifted child, and she said they certainly wouldn't have paid for me. but I just love the way the mom would react. And Calvin was at, like most children. If you listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson, he tells you that parents do a really bad job of teaching their kids science because children want to explore and experiment. And adults are always yelling at them not to do that, when actually what they're trying to do is teach themselves how things work. So you can see that in Calvin and Hobbes a lot too, where Calvin will be hammering nails into the coffee table and his mom will get upset with him about it when really he's testing physics with the way the hammer and the nail works. I mean, he's just trying to conduct a scientific experiment. Granted, it's not what his mom wants him to do, but still. So when you're out there parenting, which I won't be because mine's 28 or 29, I encourage her to experiment, not on the kitchen table, but everywhere else in the house is fine.
So on that line, that's really also the part of Hobbes, that experimentation. So Hobbes is the representation because Hobbes believes that living things have to obey the same – through physics, have to obey the same laws as matter. So we get the inanimate and live Hobbes because of Hobbes' own philosophy. And Hobbes' other thing was self-interested cooperation. Society only exists because people have a self-interest in cooperating with other people. And Hobbes is not alive without Calvin.
Ooh, that's very deep.
Yeah, it's a deep cut.
That's the deep cut. Tommy, what do you got next?
You know, going back to the physics, I always liked when Calvin would try to do something that a normal person would know is physically impossible, but a little child would assume would be perfectly safe. Like, you know, putting a pillow below a second-story fall and just assuming that it would be enough to break his fall, you know, after he jumps out of the window, you know, with some homemade wings, et cetera, and so forth.
Seems perfectly fine to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So his disbelief in obvious physics, is that rooted in philosophy, in the Calvinistic view of philosophy, Josh?
Josh walked away.
I think we lost Josh. I think we weren't cooperative enough for him. So he became inanimate. And now he's just chair.
If only that would work for all of us. Tom.
Oh.
I'm Tom. Let me be.
He's back. Maybe you can ask him that question again.
Maybe I can.
You if can. Remember, you're drunk.
I can. I'm drunk. Calvin's utter disbelief in the laws of physics as it pertains to him by jumping off of second-story windows with homemade wings on, is that part of the Calvinistic view, or is that just a little kid trying to push the boundaries?
So, I mean, Calvinism is steeped directly in religion. So anytime you see any sort of religious reference or even earlier references that were sort of taken over by the Catholic Church, you'll see a lot of Calvinism in there.
All right. See, this is
he's taking it on faith.
I have faith in these wings that I made out of nothing but paper and glue.
Yeah, Hobbes' big thing was the social contract, and Calvin's big thing was the basically the five versions of a man's soul and how God treats them. Yeah.
Well, I'm all about the social contract. That's the only thing keeping me from killing LT most days. anyone got any others? We haven't even talked about the cute little girl next door. Susie.
Who didn't like Susie? Oh, yeah. Calvin.
I always liked Susie. I always thought she brought a little bit of fun to the comic strip. And she lost her temper quicker than most with Calvin's shenanigans.
So I would like to say one more thing about how well Calvin and Hobbes actually dealt with real issues, and Calvin working it out with Hobbes gives you an understanding of it. At one point, he encounters death for the first time with a raccoon that's not doing well. And in a series of strips, Calvin, you know, he just sees a raccoon on the ground, and then him and Hobbes go over and examine it. And then he has to call his mom over to help out and figure out what to do with it. And they try to take care of it, but the raccoon ends up dying. And then Calvin has to actually deal with the actual death. And then it's a series of – I think it went on for like 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks. And the last comic is Calvin and Hobbes just walking through the same forest where they found the raccoon originally. And Calvin says – Mom says death is a natural part of birth, and it's all part of the life cycle. She says we don't really understand it, but there are many things we don't understand, and we just have to do the best we can with the knowledge we have. I guess that makes sense, but don't you go anywhere. And he gives Hobbes a big hug.
Aw. Aw. That's nice.
That is nice.
It's a lot different from than the representation you see of Calvin on the back of trucks where he's peeing.
And Josh, why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because it bothers you way more than it bothers most people.
What's that?
The misuse of the character.
Where are we going? I missed something.
Calvin on the back of trucks peeing.
Oh, right. Yeah, gotcha. Back on the trucks peeing. So Bill Watterson himself has never, ever licensed any of his material other than the use of his own printed comics. So listeners, if you have ever seen a Calvin and Hobbes t-shirt, a bumper sticker, a poster, anything that was not a Bill Watterson book, it is unlicensed material and he is not compensated in any way. And so I do not purchase any of that stuff.
I've never seen a Calvin and Hobbes shirt I wanted.
There's plenty. There's plenty of shirts I look at, and there's definitely one where they're silhouetted against the moon going across the log, dancing across the log. It's one of my favorite single panels, and I'm like, I would love that shirt, but no.
I hate just reading off these comics, but this one is just hilarious.
Good.
Two guys are in a cubicle. One guy's got a cup of coffee. He says, "Hey, I'm going to go get some coffee. Ted, you want any?" "No, thanks, Frank." And then Frank's walking away. Ta 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 ta. And then blam blam. Ah, they got Frank. Run! And then you see four deer with guns circled around Frank's corpse, and it says, "You got him. He's a big one too. Nice shot, Bambi. Somebody get the camera." And then they cut to Calvin in the classroom reading. Said, "Needless to say, Frank's family was upset when he didn't come home that night, but everyone understood the human population has doubled in just two generations to almost 6 billion. So thinning the herd was necessary to prevent starvation." And then they show his parents at the kitchen table and his mom saying, "Another parent-teacher conference."
That is funny. I like that one. He really had his finger on a lot of the dumber parts of life. I've always said hunting would be so much more interesting if the deer were armed.
I was actually going to see what was the entire body of work for Calvin and Hobbes.
It wasn't, for such a great comic strip, it didn't go on as long as most.
I guess most.
I mean, Nancy and Sluggo is still being drawn, for God's sakes.
So there were 3,160 Calvin and Hobbes comic strips over 10 years.
All right. That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a good body of work.
10 years. So it's about 10 years. 10 years. All right, guys. I guess it's about time to put this one to bed. Well, I mean,
before we end the discussion, I know we've talked about Spencer and Locke before, but if people haven't read it or haven't listened to that podcast, Spencer and Locke does a very good job of parodying Calvin and Hobbes in a more serious setting of a comic book. And I love what that combination artist does with the whole, snowman type thing with Calvin and Hobbes, and also how he does the Spaceman Spiff parody of Calvin and Hobbes and just has a totally different take on his own type of version of the characters.
I agree. You should go back and listen to that episode.
I agree. You should go back and listen to that episode, but I wasn't a fan.
And you weren't a fan because you kind of thought it was a blatant ripoff.
No, I wasn't a fan because you took something brilliant and you just turned it into something else, and it wasn't something I enjoyed reading.
That was Calvin and Hobbes meets Sin City.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an homage, and, homage is not everybody's thing.
Yeah. Wasn't mine.
Especially when something is sacred to some people.
Absolutely.
Right. Which is part of why Calvin and Hobbes meant so much to me as a kid. I, as all my good friends know, have an imaginary friend named Chauncey. And I've had Chauncey since I was a little kid, and he's still with me. in one form or another. He's not only a tattoo on my my left arm, but I still sleep with a guy in my bed. It's okay, though, because my wife has Mr. Wumpus, who's a walrus. So there's, you know, the craziness is okay. And, you know, my guy helped me out through a lot of stuff, just the way Calvin's stuffed animal helped him through a lot of stuff growing up as a kid. So, yeah, that's part of the reason I like Calvin and Hobbes so much, because I saw so much of me and Chauncey in the characters of Calvin and Hobbes. You thought you were going to make me cry, didn't you, Mikey, you fucking bastard?
I didn't think but you that. Didn't. I was hoping. But
hoping and thinking are two different things. All right, fine. As long as we're hoping, I hope there's something great in the front of the long box.
Sure. Actually, at the front of the long box, this ties in directly with this week's GOAT, greatest of all time. If you have not checked out our Patreon page, please go check it out at patreon.com/thelongboxguys. For just $1 a month, you get access to our greatest of all time podcast. And this time, we talked about the greatest Hanna-Barbera characters of all time. And in the front of the long box, I have a crossover between DC Comics and Hanna-Barbera, Black Lightning and Hong Kong Phooey. This is a very serious take on the Hong Kong Phooey mythology. They don't play it for laughs. It's kind of weird seeing Hong Kong Phooey just... I had a hard time with it because I always try to imagine Hong Kong Phooey's voice as Scatman Crothers. And it really wasn't working in this comic by itself. But in it, there is Hong Kong Phooey's foe Magico or Presto.
Presto.
Presto teams up with Bronze Tiger and Cheshire to try – Lady Shiva – to try to steal the the Demon Fist formula, and Black Lightning has to team up with them. It's a very good adventure. There's a backup story at the end with Funky Phantom, which is to be a parody of extreme gun rights advocates, but it kind of falls flat because there's really only one joke in it, but they just keep on kind of making it anyways. So that was a little disappointing that they didn't have a better backup. I wish Mark Russell had done it because he would have done it justice, just like he's done with the Flintstones and the Snagglepuss Chronicles. But if you get a chance, there's the Black Lightning Hong Kong Phooey crossover, Aquaman and Jabberjaw, and Flash and Speed Buggy. I just read all of them. They're all very good. If you have a fondness for the Hanna-Barbera characters, you should check it out.
And let's not forget Batman and Elmer Fudd.
Oh, one of the greatest comics of last year. But I was talking about Mike, the recent ones.
Mike, I got to ask you not to spoil anything. Hong Kong Phooey, is he really like a weredog or is it like a wooden mask?
No, he's just a dog standing just like a human. They don't even breach the fact that it's a dog. Although he is a Vietnam veteran.
Okay. Awesome.
As one might be.
Yeah, it's exactly Hong Kong Phooey, and nobody just even mentions the fact that it's okay. A 6'2" dog.
So he's like the sergeant from Top Ten.
Yeah, kind of.
Everyone just ignores the fact.
Yeah, ignore that. Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box?
I have Marvel Zombies 2 by Robert Kirkman, Sean Phillips, and Arthur Suidam. This was a great comic. In it, all of the Marvel superheroes that have been turned into zombies have scoured the universe, eating their way through everything. And they've come to the realization that there's nothing left to eat. So they decide to head back to Earth to see if they can use Mr. Fantastic's device to cross over to another dimension to eat their way through another dimension. And when they get to Earth, they discover that there is a small population of humans that are Wakandans and some heroes that have been kind of protecting Wakanda that they missed – on their first pass through the Earth that are protecting what's left of Reed Richards' portal device to the other dimensions. And it was a really great series, just as good as Marvel Zombies number one, and I highly recommend it.
Drink. Mm-hmm. For those of you not in the know, that's part of our drinking game. What was that?
Sorry.
That was your phone. That was Mike's phone.
Sorry.
So that's part of our drinking game. Every time one of us highly recommends something or one of our phone goes off, everyone does a drink. So don't forget to have a drink, everybody. Sorry if that was tangential to our conversation. Oh, speaking of tangents, though, Josh, what do you got for us?
Well, that just tipped me off to a tangent. Favorite drinking game.
Ooh, favorite drinking game.
Well, I'll start. So for me, I think many moons ago, a bunch of us used to go all camping together at the same time, and I was introduced to beer pong, which brings me into a physical game that's kind of like tiny basketball and drinking beer, and I like basketball and beer.
I don't remember ever playing beer pong with you.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have.
Sad. Sad for Tom.
Yeah. I have a table set up for beer pong and ping pong balls, so you should come here. Come here, Tom. Tom, report to me.
I will report to you sometime this weekend for some beer pong. Mikey, did you play a lot of drinking games? I mean, in the military, we played
our drinking game in the military was called Friday and Saturday Night.
Yeah.
Oh, I somehow remember playing the shot-for-shot game with you and Christian at a place that will remain nameless while I was naked in the snow.
How old were you when you were naked in the snow with him and Christian?
I was old enough to drive.
But probably not old enough to drink.
No, definitely not old to drink.
We really were not the best of people to you, man. I look back and see that we could have been a little more sheltering to our very young friend Josh.
Yeah, I may or may not have actually passed out with my face on a pizza that night.
He drowned in a pizza. Get in here, buddy. Everyone high fives you on the way to heaven if you drown in a pizza, dude.
It's true.
Especially with that nose. It would have to be a Chicago deep dish.
It would have to be.
Or two pizzas stacked on each other. Or a third funny thing. Mikey, yeah, in the military we played quarters sometimes, but we'd get bored with it like really quick and just start doing shots. Yeah, I didn't play a ton of drinking games.
Yeah, neither did I. I played a lot of quarters when I was in high school.
You introduced us to a dreidel game, Josh.
We've also played a lot of, I think this was with you, like at UMass, Mike. We played three man a lot because we all had dice.
Yeah, dice. We played a few dice games.
I was probably with Andy, not me.
Maybe with Andy.
Because I would go home on the weekends to Kelly, so that way she would cheat on me less. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sorry, that. Mike. It's
one fewer day she would cheat on you?
Yeah.
I would have told you she was cheating on you if I'd realized you were that Mike.
You're almost a good friend, LT.
So close.
When we were giving her a ride to school and she was talking about cheating on Mike, I didn't realize you were that Mike.
Yeah, unfortunately,
that's all right. I've forgiven her. It was, after all, over 30 years ago. I think I can cut her a break for being experimental.
Yeah, unfortunately, LT, in that instance, you miss by an inch, you miss by a mile.
Yeah. It's a good point. Now, LT, you're one of the very few Wilburys who wouldn't touch alcohol at all. Not a drop, not a sip past your virgin lips until you turn 21.
That's right. But I used to play drinking games with you.
Yeah, and you used to watch us get drunk and then watch us have sex. You were a weird kid.
I didn't watch you have sex, but
You walked in on everyone having sex at least once.
Well, just you.
No.
That's fair.
In Tom's defense, we were all having sex with him at that time, so that's why. Oh, it's like a big pile.
Yeah. I was done up like a Chinese finger trap.
Earwax is gross.
But a natural lubricant, from what Tom told me.
But we used to play that higher lower card game.
Oh yeah, high card, low card. Yeah,
high card, low card. That's an easy one. Yeah.
Shots. Yeah, for God's sakes, how did we survive that?
Oh man, I drank so much Coke that night.
That's probably what gave me diabetes. You were probably safe.
If you had just drank alcohol like the rest of us, like you'd be safe right now.
You'd be fine.
And what was one of our favorite drinks to drink during this game? I believe that would be a moose bite. Josh, can you tell us what the recipe for a moose bite is?
Every alcohol left in the room plus my retainer. That's right. The thing that straightened my teeth came out of my mouth and into the glass. And when that happened, then, and only then, was it a moose bite. Actually, and remember, kids, moose bites can be nasty.
That was a nasty drink.
The official recipe was beer, vodka, rum, 10K, or Gatorade, and Josh's retainer.
10K? Do they even make 10K anymore?
I don't know.
That was like a Mexican ripoff of Gatorade.
Yeah, and you guys kept buying it because it was cheap. And moose bites could be kind of nasty.
Moose bites were nasty. God damn it. We are so lucky to have survived. Josh, do you remember the dreidel game? I don't remember how to play the dreidel game.
I don't remember either.
Well, all that's important is we tried to include your Jewishness into our reindeer games. Sure. And for that, I salute us. Hey, high five, guys. High five. All around. Trying to include the Jewish kid. All right. I don't have a lot to talk about on social relevancy this week. Hopefully we'll have a lot to talk about in the next couple of weeks if one of our panels gets accepted in New York Comic Con.
That's right.
In that case, yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about social relevancy because we're going to be doing research out the wazoo.
And seriously, New York Comic Con, guys, if you're listening, and I know you're not, consider us for this panel.
Please, if you don't, you will make a weak and vulnerable enemy, my friend.
Fucking A.
But if you make enough of those, you're screwed. That's right. It's called Overbear.
Look it up.
Look it up.
Look it up. A second edition book.
All right. I guess that brings us over to plugs. Let's plug New York City Comic Con. On a straight tip, even if we don't get into New York City Comic Con, it is one of the best of the year. And you get to see our good friends, the Ians and the Linos there, because Tammy and Ian usually go to New York Comic Con and get tickets up the wazoo there.
Yeah, and they're going to Dragon Con. So if you would like to go check them out, geekorthodox.com. Purveyor of fine t-shirts and the official stained glass maker for John Barrowman.
Yeah.
That's like the official toy maker for the king. That's great.
And official sock maker for Lech Walesa.
Yeah.
Lech Walesa, really?
Yes. What? The former president of Poland gets all his socks from geekorthodox.com. Prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong, children. I thought you were going to say, and
send your proof by payment in the form of payment to patreon.com.
Write your proof on a $15 donation to Patreon, and we will believe it. Speaking of our Patreon page, that's patreon.com/server/ we can never remember. The Long Box Guys. You get an extra podcast every week. This week we did the GOAT, and we did the GOAT with one of our members from the Long Box Legion, our good friend Diane, who was filling in for Josh last week, who was at Epic Nerd Camp. She did such a good job that I was thinking of replacing myself with her. She was hilarious.
That's actually a really good idea.
Thank you.
I mean,
well, also, I wasn't on my A game last week because I was sober as a church mouse.
Mean. You are a mean sober person.
I was awful. I need the alcohol. If you can believe it, I need the alcohol to cut the anger. I did not know that about myself. Kind of scary.
I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. They just released a new album, so you can go pick it up on Bandcamp. Kirby Crackle. Yep.
Oh. Was the Mike, have you already listened to it all?
I have not, because I have been really busy in the past week, so I have not had a chance to sit down at the computer and download it.
All right. Greatest geek rock song of all time on the GOAT next week. You guys in?
Sure.
All right. Boom. We got a GOAT.
Yeah. Friendly Neighborhood Comics. Go there.
Yeah. Is that place clean?
I hope so. It's getting there. It's almost back to its former glory.
All right. And Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And LT, sweet, sweet LT, what do you got to say to us?
This may not be the podcast you desire, but it's a podcast you deserve.
Josh, I am trapped in Needham for the next 2 weeks working. Is that your sector?
Could be my sector. A couple of days out of the week anyway.
Really? You going to Needham? All right. Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that because I could use a little protection out there. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live longer. The new Robin Hood movie looks so good. Can't wait to see it. Happy Time Murders opens this weekend. Can't wait to see that. Have you guys seen the previews for that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That better be as good as it looks.
So, everyone, do me a favor. This is courtesy of my friend Josh, not Hopper, but Mathurne. He wants everybody who goes sees the Happy Time Murder to bring Silly String with them to the movie, and at the same time the puppet ejaculates, everybody shoot the Silly String into the air.
I'm in.
I'm in. Josh, we better go see it together.
I'm totally in.
We might have to fight our way out. So.
Just clean it up afterwards. Don't be animals.
We did the same thing with the jerk.
I'll put a towel down.
Damn it.
So, Mikey, do you have to make the noise like you ejaculated?
What
have
noise?
Have to. You get to, you idiot. Fucking have to. Fuck off. God damn it, LT.
I love it when it rants like that. You can see the little vein in his head throbbing.
What are you saying about don't dissing what you hate?
You anthropomorphized sack of potatoes. I fucking hate you. And don't forget what I always say. Fuck off, LT. I'll see you guys all next week on The Long Box, guys.
There's nothing you can do but just sit there and feel it. It's hard to be in the same room with loved ones saying things you can't believe in. Frustration growing every day, and no one knows just where to put it. Can't look at things in the same way. What I was supposed to do about it? So hold on tight. In this life, there's too wrong, there's too right. Love it, hell's no sign. And it burns to the truth every time. There's a song that they're playing, standing there saying, you don't have to just sing along. There's a rising tide, and it's coming. It's getting harder now to breathe. You're too tired to just ignore it. You try to turn off the TV. The exhaustion you feel, the counting on it. Suburban hearts and vigilante hymns. Ring your bells in the streets and keep marching against a power with no clothes. Who doesn't care that you know that it's lies that they're selling? So please hold on tight. There's still good, there's still wrong in this life. Love it. Hey. every time there's a song that they're playing, standing here saying, you don't have to just sing along.
Love you, LT. People are actually going to think I hate you.
They already have said that.
They have said that many times. You're a horrible person.
Bitch.
They don't like you because how mean you are.
I'm such a sweetie.